Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. So this morning, I actually want to read us the scripture and then give you the bit of an intro so that you are not missing in the intro, especially this morning. So you can read with me if you have your Bibles with you. Otherwise, you can look on the board. It's 2 Timothy 2 from verse 8 to 10. And we're continuing in Timothy. And just to give you the theme, the short theme, before I get too long. But Paul is encouraging Timothy in a difficult space where Timothy might find himself. So when we read this, first of all, remember this is his last letter. So he's going to die soon for his faith. And this is his last letter written with real like anxiousness. So when we read this, just keep that in mind. And encouraging Timothy. Okay, so it says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound, and therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amazing. And the first time I also read the scripture, I actually read it to my wife. She's also like, yo, read it again. Like, I'm a bit lost. But that's why I wanted to read it in the beginning. We'll do the intro and then we'll read it again. Okay. But we'll also go through it slowly, so don't stress. But y'all, just something that I like to start with is the story of a bunch of kids that start to play instruments. They can tell you how it is, nay? To play instruments. And what they were doing when they started off, when they were still young, they did like a little survey and asked them, you know, why are you starting with this instrument? I think it was actually on small kids starting to learn the saxophone. So really interesting, but in any case, that's what the study was about. And then they saw only 5 out of a bunch, I think it was 100 or more, that actually continued playing saxophone for the rest of their life. So they went back to the survey, or the little chat they had with them, and they saw that there was out of these 5 kids, there's one thing that stood out why they continued, and it was the vision that they would play the saxophone for the rest of their life. It's quite beautiful. That's why they continued, because they had the vision. Eh? Who knows that saying, if you have the vision, you do the mission, eh? So because they had the vision of playing for their whole lives, all the effort, you know, all the playing and all the practicing, it was easy, you know, because they knew, I'm going to do it for the rest of my life, and that's why. And the same with Christianity. And the same when we go through life. Where's your vision headed? Is it growth in Jesus? Is it maybe the next plan, the next business thing, the next whatever it may be? Or is it the eternal life and growth in God and growth in Jesus? And I almost see this picture of an old man, Paul, you know, 60, more than 60 years old, enduring for the gospel, suffering for the gospel. He knew the vision. And do you see yourself like at the age of 60 or 70 serving Jesus, serving the Lord until the day that you die? You know, growing in your relationship with Christ, being humble, in humility, accept even rebukes from younger people. You know, being humble, really you're submitting your will towards Jesus. So that's the vision we should have. Also for eternal life. Very important. We are living for eternal life, not this life. Amen. It's not a 100-meter dash, but it's a marathon. And that last few kilometers is when your legs get wobbly. So remember that. This is what Paul is saying. This is what he's encouraging Timothy to do. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the eternity. We are called until the end. And like in ministry and in life, we often yeah, well, with ministry, we will face persecution. I mean, and we spoke about it a lot a few weeks ago, but it's in here again. he's already saying again, I endure for the gospel, you know, bound with chains. There will be persecution, and when we try to, you know, please people, you know, we get so tired. Amen. We won't reach the point where we actually please everyone. Amen. So that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Hey, oh, stop it. Remember Jesus, you know. This is what it's about. Reminding him, shifting his focus to what's important. And yes, we are in 2024, probably, God willing, we won't suffer beatings and persecution in a way that we will die, I hope. But we should be willing. And also, we will face other things. We will have to face our schedules. Amen. Our jobs, our hobbies. Things that we need to choose Jesus firstly. Jesus have it all? That means everything. Amen. It's not part. This part and that part, but not that part. Amen. It's everything. Jesus have it all. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. You forgot. No, you said Jesus have it all. You know this. No, let's just shift the focus again. And maybe you may be at the same place where Timothy was. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you feel disappointed. Maybe you even feel that your sin is overwhelming you. Maybe. And Paul is, luckily, for this morning, he's giving us a few things to look and to hold on to. Okay, so let's read this passage again. It's a beautiful passage. We'll read it slowly. And then we'll dive into it. So firstly, what he does is he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The offspring of David has preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. And therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And just before we carry on, I don't know, I just want to remind us of what it said in verse 7. And just before this is verse 8. Verse 7 said the following. It says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then he says, remember Jesus Christ. Now, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ. But also, that think over what I say, something that I just like to ask is, when you read the Bible, do you think or do you just read? Do you think when you read the Bible? You say, Lord, what do you want to change in me? Or do you just read the Bible? There's this example of a butterfly and a bee. We can read the Bible either like a butterfly or like a bee. A butterfly goes from one flower and he sits. And then he flies to the next flower. And often we do that. We're like, oh, that's a nice verse. Oh, that's also a nice verse. You know, and no wonder. You know, we don't understand the word of God. But if we're like a bee, we stop. We suck the nectar out of the flower. And we make sure we are saturated with what God wants to tell us. And then we keep on going. And it's so important when we read through these verses to think about what Paul is saying. Remember Jesus Christ. Well, that's a beautiful thing to remember. I mean, that's the first thing that Paul says in these scriptures is, remember, and do you maybe think he reminded Timothy that, you know, remember Jesus as if he maybe forgot? Maybe he forgot about Jesus. No. But Timothy lost focus of Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, remember to focus on Jesus. Remember to live your life as Jesus did. We see in Acts 20, verse 30, it says, from among you there will be men speaking twisted things to draw you away. When are we drawn away? When do we speak twisted things? When we lose focus. Amen? We start to believe a small lie, and then another lie, then another lie, and then we speak twisted things. I mean, then we feel, maybe we feel even twisted. But we forget Jesus. So the focus firstly is to remember why. Okay, we're going to dive into this remembering. But secondly also, what is quite interesting is Paul actually used Christ Jesus 10 times in Timothy, but only once he used Jesus Christ. You think that's coincidence maybe? I thought maybe it's coincidence, but it's not. Paul is focusing and he's putting some emphasis on the word Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the name of Jesus, reflecting his humanity. He was a man, but Christ meaning he was also God. I mean, he was anointed, he was the chosen one, he was the Messiah. Okay, the one who was risen from the dead. But what Paul is doing here is giving some emphasis on Jesus, saying that remember, he was also a man. And he also suffered. And remember that he died, but he was risen from the dead. It's simple things we often forget. But when we remember these things, you know, Jesus actually can relate with our problems. And that's what Paul is saying. He was also a man. He was suffering, like physically he was suffering. He can relate with your issues. And if you have problems and you are maybe disappointed or overwhelmed, he can relate with you. Speak to him. Remember him in your ways. And then, secondly, he was the offspring of David, also stretching his humanity. David was a man. And remember, Jesus was the offspring of David in the same bloodline. But it also refers to he's going to come back, né, and going to sit on David's throne. And he's going to rule and everything will be beautiful. Okay, that's also so inspiring and encouraging to keep on going. Because yes, this world is broken, but Jesus will come and heal it. Amen. When the time is good. Remember that. Remember eternity. And when we often dive into a pity party or emotional weakness, and that does happen and there's good reasons for it often, but often the reason is just we forget Jesus. We forget to focus on him. We forget eternal life. Forget what's important. And when we say remember the cross, it may seem a bit blurry. Like, what do I need to do when I remember the cross? I mean, we need to remember that Jesus laid down his life as an example of what we should be doing. And an example that I like to use, it's maybe a bit vivid, so I'll keep some PG on it. But let's say Cyril Ramaphosa chose and he decides that Muslim to be a Muslim is what's needed in South Africa, and he's going to kill you if you're South African. You know, and next Sunday we are here and, you know, police starts walking in here and maybe starts shooting people. What will we say? So are we really putting Jesus as, I don't care about my life. I care if he calls me to do something with my life, I'll do it. But if I need to lay my life down, I'll do it as well. And maybe we need to take a second to reflect on this, but what will we do? Is Jesus really the king of my life? Or is it, like I said, my schedule or my comfort or this next business opportunity or whatever it may be? But in everything saying, Jesus, what do you want? Remember Jesus. Focus on Jesus. You know, I want a new car. Okay, but not my will. Your will. It sounds simple. But it's not that simple, amen? We do things rushly, and Peter explained just this morning about the rain coming and how often he feels anxious. And so beautiful. And so how often do we find ourselves in circumstances that we cannot control? But Paul's saying, remember Jesus Christ. Remember eternal life. Showing at Jesus, he was the best farmer, the best athlete, the best soldier. You know, remember Jesus. Look at him. When we are overwhelmed, to remember what he says. How does it look like to remember him? That's our first point. To endure for the gospel we must take on the same path as Jesus Christ. We need to walk as Jesus did. Yes, we will fail. Amen. We won't be doing it exactly as he did, but walk with him then. Now doing what he says, how are we going to do? How are we going to walk on the path that he did? We need to know him. We need to love him. We need to love his word. We need to be speaking with him, sharing with him what's in my heart. And it's so needed to hear this because it's so easy to live an easy life. It's so easy to live a pretty easy life. We can just go through the motions, even come to church, go to small group, but not doing what God's saying we should do. We can miss what he's busy doing. And we cannot afford to slow down in our calling. Amen. Be passive in being obedient. We need to lay ourselves down, putting the way of selfishness, putting away of pride, following Jesus. This path leads to life. And like Pamela also shares, like God will, he will provide in those areas. If he calls you to do something, he will provide a way for us to do it. He will give us the strength. And the more we advance in serving the Lord, we see in verse 9, for which I'm suffering, bound with chains, suffering once again. It's the best for us. The more we advance in serving the Lord, the bigger the fight. The Romans that says, like, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities. And the fight will be there. And we will never, maybe, like I said, fight a policeman or whatever it may be, but we need to be willing to lay down our lives, not deny him. And in the countries of persecution, what do they pray for? Lord, please, let me not deny you. Not that they will stop persecuting us, but Lord, help us that we may not deny you. And the same for us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will continue making the right decisions in your will, laying down ourselves, doing what you called us to do. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the parts that I still cling to. And the parts for living myself. There's parts of my life where I like to live for myself. Lord, I'm sorry, I lay it down. There's this scripture in 2 Corinthians 11 focusing on the suffering of Paul. I want to read it to us. It's quite severe. I don't know if you've read it. But here we go, from verse 24. So Paul saying, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one, which is 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from the false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Can I just tell you something about Paul? He was quite old. And every one of these things, he basically was close to death. 5 times he received 39 lashes. So 40 lashes is when you'll give someone 40 lashes to kill them, but you'll give them 39 to make them survive. So 5 times he received this. He was basically dead. I don't know how it must feel to go for the 5th time, knowing you're probably going to maybe die. You know, receiving the lashes as an old man. He was being stoned, and they thought he was dead. But then he stood up and preached the gospel. It's a bit crazy. I'm struggling to think, you know, how would I do it? Difficult to relate. You know, at an age of 60 or older than 60, you know, we want to go on pension. You know, we want to relax. And there's probably people that told Paul, hey, oh, chill, just go. Hide yourself, you know, don't come out here. You receive lashes all the time. Why are you doing it? And he's saying, I need to endure for the gospel. Sure. Instead of passing the torch to Timothy, he goes and he preaches. To have that eternal perspective. Listen, this is what he's saying to Timothy. Remember, Timothy, this is what accompanies ministry. But remember that Jesus is coming back. Remember, there will be a time where everything is made perfect. Remember Jesus. It will cost us something. There's this thing that I like to say, but it says that ministry mostly, it will mostly cost us something, or it won't accomplish anything. So ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing, mostly. I want to say by the grace of God, there's often times where we do share the gospel with people, and they do come to salvation. And that is amazing, but it will cost us something. It cost the Father his Son. It cost Jesus his life. It will cost you something, and maybe to just stop a moment and ask yourself, what does the ministry cost you? Does it cost you anything? Because like I said, it's pretty easy to live a pretty easy life. We can go by not costing us much. Having our own will, not doing completely what God says we should, but just passing by. What is God asking of you in service for Christ? Maybe what schedule changes do you need to make? What effort does it cost you? Maybe what resources does it cost you? Maybe just to take a moment and reflect on it. But okay, let's continue with verse 9. We are done with suffering for now. We see in the first part of these few verses, you know, Paul going, remembering Jesus, focusing on suffering, and then his heart moves towards the lost. It's beautiful. He says, for which I'm suffering. Then he says, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. And we'll also see in verse 10, focusing on the lost. And he's starting to say, like, remember, you know, the ministry that you are doing is not for free. You know, God's, even though I am bound, the messenger is bound, the message is not bound. You know, God is working in people's hearts. He is busy. And remember, may that encourage you this morning. There's a story of John Bunyan. He was in the 1700s. He was a preacher in England, and the authorities or the church, they didn't like what he was saying. Probably the false church. So he was probably speaking the truth. They didn't like what he's saying, and they put him in prison, and he preached in prison, and people came to prison, you know, like even from outside, you know, listening to how he exposits the word. And then they said, no, okay, no, this won't work. Let's put him in the deepest cell, like there were nobodies. And there he wrote the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, where that reached millions of people, saved millions of lives. And it's just an inspiration that God's word is not bound, even if we think so, even if people persecute us. This Isaiah 55 also says it so beautiful, inspiring us. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And this should be the faith of us, amen. When we share the word, even when we feel that we do something, we are obedient to God, it will not return in vain. It will accomplish. And that's beautiful. Often we won't see the fruit in people's lives, but God said it's not in vain. I see it. You know, I see it, and that's what matters. Now, we are doing it for the Lord, not for anything else. If we do it for people, like I said in the beginning, pleasing people, it won't last. I mean, trying to, you know, build up my own little kingdom, it won't last. But if we look at eternity, doing it for Jesus, it will last. Amen. Beautiful. Okay, and we get to verse 10, which says, and therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. That is that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ with eternal glory. This therefore, because of the anxiety, you know, Paul wants us to encourage Timothy that the gospel should be extended. And this word endure is an active perseverance. It's not a passive thing. You know, it's like, oh, I'm suffering, but I'm enduring. No, not that. I'm enduring for the gospel. So that, very interesting, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He's enduring for people, so that they can see his faith, so that they also may come to salvation. And maybe just some on a side note, I just want to stop at this small word, elect. It often can get us a bit confused, because Paul could have said, you know, those who would be saved or anything like that, but he chose to use the word elect, and what is it? Well, in my thinking and my studying, it looks like this means, you see also in Romans 9 and 10, Paul a lot, when he's speaking of the elect, he's referring to the elect nation, Israel, or the Jews. And that is also the people under which he is suffering at this stage. So when we see elect, yeah, it's the elect nation. He's saying, and this people, he's suffering for them so that they may see his faith, so that they may obtain salvation. Often people try to put Calvinism in here and say it's those God chose and whatever it may be, but it doesn't fall. Doesn't look like it. And also we shouldn't move away from the theme that Paul is busy with. Paul is busy with exhorting, encouraging Timothy to remember Jesus, to remember the lost. And that's the theme. And we'll keep it that way. Okay, and it's so important to not go off on all sidetracks. If you want to know more about Calvinism or Arminianism, please come and speak to me. It will be fun. But that's not what it says here. Okay. What Paul wants to say, so in short, what he wants to say is suffering is a unique and a special occasion for us as Christians to reach the lost by showing character. Okay, so when we suffer, when we endure, it's an opportunity to show our character so that people can see, wow, why are you hopeful? Why are you positive? Why are you doing things the way that you are doing it? Because of Jesus. We remember Jesus. Amen? It does make sense. And that's what Paul says, I endure everything and I will keep on so that they may obtain salvation. It's beautiful. And that should be our hearts. That's the second point. To endure for the gospel, we must remember the lost. Those working with you, maybe your friends, when you suffer, how do you suffer? I mean, do you endure for the gospel? Do you remember Jesus? Because people will ask questions. How? Why are you so positive? And you can lead them to Christ. I mean, so at the end, I'd like to finish with this. Because that is the essence of this, is to remember Jesus Christ. And I like to use this example of when I was a younger boy, we played a lot of tennis. There's other things I liked as well. But I liked Roger Federer. And I thought he was a nice guy. He was also calm on the court. And I like to see, like, what does he do well? Why does he win games? You know, so I started studying him a bit, you know, seeing what does he do well. Also, when I started, you know, knowing him more, I'm like, okay, who's his wife? You know, who's his children? Starting to look all kinds of interviews he has, you know, maybe after bad matches, how does he react? You know, how does he do things? I started liking him. In contrast with Formula One that my dad watched, which I didn't understand at all. You know, like I was like grade 8 or 9 and I was like, I don't understand what's going on. You know, it's 3 hours, can we sleep? You know, so we slept there on the couch. And I want to say, like, with Jesus, it's the same. When we start loving Jesus, knowing Jesus more, we find joy in learning about him. We find joy in learning his word. We find actually joy in sharing him with other people. Now if someone likes tennis, I'm like, ah, Roger Federer is the GOAT. You know, He's the greatest of all time. You know, I find joy in it. And do you find joy in Jesus? Do you know Him? If you don't know Him, it will be like Formula One. You know, it will be very boring. But do you love Him? Do you remember Him? Amen. I must say, I did get better in Formula One. And I do like it now. But it's so important. Do you love sharing Jesus with people? Do you love His word? Are you like the butterfly when reading His word, or are you like the bee? Do you ask, you know, Jesus, what do you want to change in me when you read the word of God? Worshipping Him, knowing Him, praying to Him, sharing with Him your thoughts. That's how we find joy in Jesus. And He gives it. It's a byproduct of Jesus. It's how He is. It's who He is. If we are depressed and we struggle in life, we tend to forget Jesus. Our focus is on something else. Amen. So this morning, there's two prayer points which I just like to throw on the board. A willingness to take the same path as Jesus and a heart to endure so that others may be saved. And just on this last topic, I just want us, we're going to take communion now, but maybe you feel like you haven't found Jesus, joy in Jesus, just never in your life. Maybe you feel like I don't know what this guy is talking about. You know, I don't know what joy looks like in Jesus. And then I want to ask you to just say, Lord, I'm turning back to You. I'm turning to You. I want to know You. I want to learn from You. I want to read Your word. And just make that decision where you sit there. So I just want us to close our eyes. Maybe you've lost your joy and you just want to turn back to Jesus.